Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is April 6th, and it's an absolutely gorgeous day here in Virginia. My name is Lynn, and I am your host. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Before we get started with our guest, who I'm extremely excited about, I just wanted to tell you about some upcoming shows that we have. On April 20th, we're going to have Chris James, and Chris James is well known for his voice and the healing nature that it has. And Chris encourages everyone to express their voice. He believes that everyone has a gift of voice, and he helps people bring that out and nurture that. So we're going to have Chris James on here on the 20th. On the 27th, we have our monthly meditation. On May 4th, we're going to have Elka Vera, and she's going to be talking about accessing the possibilities within us. And on May 18th, we're going to have Paul Wong talking to us about Chinese energetics. And Paul, I've been watching some of his videos that he sends out in a newsletter, and his work seems very, very interesting. So you can check him out on the guest page of the website if you'd like to learn a little bit more about any of these people. But today, I want to welcome to the show Kate Mucci. Kate has been playing the harp. She started playing the harp a while back, and she played in Las Vegas and was asked to come and play for someone in their home. And that was a really unique situation that led her into what is probably her life calling. I don't know if that's how she would describe it. And Kate was wonderful enough to gift me a recording that she has, and I think it is fantastic. So I'm going to welcome Kate to the show. Kate, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm terrific. Thanks so much for having me on.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and
sure.
How you got into music?
Well, I started playing piano when I was 4, so I was very, very young. And I went to a conservatory, and I did all of that regular stuff until I left home at 18. And then, of course, I didn't have access to a piano, so it kind of fell by the wayside, except for I would help out. I often volunteered with autistic kids because music is one of the very few ways that you're pretty well assured of getting through, of communicating with them. So I would volunteer many areas to do that wherever I lived, and I moved around quite a bit, but I did do that. And then I was a paralegal. My business training was as a paralegal, and I did that, and then I, kind of bopped around for a while, but I always had my music in the background, whether I was teaching part-time or whatever. And then I became a very busy businesswoman in Palm Springs area of California, and the stress level was somewhere near Saturn. It was just incredible what I was doing there. And I didn't have a piano at the time. I missed my music. And one night I came home after a really tough day, and I laid in bed and I prayed. And I said, please, somebody help me. I can't do this anymore. Please let me know what I'm supposed to do with my life, because I know this is not it. And that night I was given a dream. And in that dream, I was playing the harp. And I felt such an incredible sense of peace and joy. I could never describe it. And I got up the next morning and I said to my husband, I need to get a harp. And he kind of looked at me very quizzically and said, why? And I said, I had a dream and I have to play the harp. So it took us a little while because harps are kind of expensive, and I was not in a position to buy a big pedal harp, and I really didn't know that there was anything else. And then Richard happened to go to a music dealership conference because a friend of his owned a music store, and they went together to this thing in Long Beach, and he came back with an order for a little harp for me, a little folk harp. And when it came in by UPS, I picked up this harp, and I held it, and I knew that it was my destiny. That's how I got started, and I just taught myself because I didn't want to go through that whole regimen of formal training. This was something for Kate, for Kate's heart, and that's how it all began.
That's incredible to hear that you taught yourself, especially after having heard your music, which I have. That's awesome.
Well, all those years of training, you know, on piano, because a harp is just a piano standing up.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the same notes. The strings of a harp are like the white keys of a piano.
Okay.
That's what it is. It goes in octaves just like a piano. So it was very natural. It took me a little while to get used to moving my hands, you know, vertically instead of horizontally. But it worked out fine. And it was about a year after I got the harp that my husband, who plays guitar, he started kind of playing around, you know, accompanying me with it. And then we decided that the pressure of the business that we were in was just too much, and we decided to close it down, and we moved away to Las Vegas because the kind of music we were playing was old, like not classical so much, but medieval and a Renaissance music. So we decided, we set our goals, and Richard was very good at manifesting. And so we moved to Las Vegas, and 1 year later, we were working at Excalibur, the big, castle there in Las Vegas. At the time, it was the largest hotel in the world. And we worked there for 6 years, playing every day. It was an amazing, amazing experience to play that kind of music in that environment. People would often come along and say, wow, it's like a little sanctuary in this neon madness.
Yeah, you know, I love that story of synchronicity and how you asked for guidance and asked for direction and you got it. And not only did you get it, because everybody gets it, but you followed it and it opened so many doors for you.
Oh, yes. That's the ticket to follow. When you're given a little hint or a little blessing like that, follow it.
Yeah, that's the whole, to me, that was the main purpose of the Honoring Hour, was to just show people out there that listen to it, you know, just go ahead and act on it. Don't worry about the how, the when, or what other people are thinking. Just act on your dreams.
Right, right.
So, beautiful.
Another thing I wanted to just quickly mention, when we were going to audition for the part at Excalibur, there were two openings and 500 acts vying for that space. So you can imagine the stress levels of auditioning. And you had to audition live in front of an audience. You were on the stage auditioning. And I was so incredibly nervous because I was still very new at that. You know, I'd only been playing for 2 years, the harp. And I was so scared. Lynn, my hands were shaking, and when your hands shake, it's really hard to play the harp because your fingers hit the wrong strings. And I was plugging the harp into an amplification system, and I was like at the floor there, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and a male voice said, "You're going to do just fine." And I turned around, and of course there was no one there, but I could just as sure as anything feel the hand on my shoulder, and it was like I just this wave of peace and confidence came over me. And we sat down and we aced the audition, and I knew that day that we were going to have the job.
Oh,
and we
that's
did.
Wonderful. That's great. I love that story. But then while you were doing that, you actually got invited to play for someone personally that set you in a new direction.
Yeah, I had played for an engagement party. I just did a solo gig for an engagement party at my friend Michelle's. And while I was playing at that party, this wonderful couple spent almost all of the time there with me in the one area that I was playing. His name was Steve, and they just loved the music. And about 6 months later, I got a call from Michelle, and she said, "Do you remember that couple?" And I said, "Well, of course I do." She said, "Well, he's really sick. He has cancer, and there's nothing they can do. And his wife has been asking what he wants, and he says, I want that little girl with the harp." So, remember, I'm 40 years old at the time, but he says, "I want that little girl with the harp." So she tracked me down and asked if I would go and play. And I said, of course. You know, they were so nice. I'll be there, you know, Tuesday night after my, because I was taking violin lessons. I'll go after my lesson. So I drove all the way out to Henderson, which was exactly the opposite end of Las Vegas from where I lived. And I was a little bit late because of traffic. But I got to their house, and there were many, many cars on the street and in the driveway. And I thought, oh, dear, you know, what's going on? And I walked in, and the family was gathered because they knew he was going to pass at any time. And so I thought, oh, I didn't realize it was this bad. But, you know, I just tuned up my harp and went in. And he was not fully conscious. He was kind of drifting in and out. But I took his hand and I said, Steve, it's Kate. I'm here to play for you. And there was no real response, but I felt like a slight pressure in my hand. So I knew he recognized that I was there. So I just sat right by the bed and leaned the bow of my harp against the mattress, because they'd put a hospital bed in the living room. So I just put the harp against it so he could feel. I wanted him to be able to feel the vibration. And I just started off with a tune that I knew that he'd enjoyed when I was there at the party. And I just started playing. And over the course of the while, his breathing became much more regular. It was still very shallow, but it was more regular, and he wasn't gasping so much. And then about 40 minutes later, he passed away. During that time, though, the music changed from recognizable tunes, and that's when I started tuning into him. It was like I wasn't really involved in the conscious decision of what music was being played. There was some other guidance coming over me, and I was playing for Steve only. And it was like we merged energy or something. It was the most incredible thing. And I knew without looking when he passed, because the energy left. It was gone from the music. And I sort of came back into the whole thing. And then I just kind of played Amazing Grace and then a couple of other little hymns. And then I backed off to the family. But they wouldn't let me go. They were so grateful that I had been there for him, because that's all he'd asked for. And so that started me. I got out to the car and, of course, fell apart when I got out there. But that kind of changed my whole attitude about what I was doing with this music. It showed me that there's something so profound in this modality, and the ancients used it for a reason. So that got me started with the research and the, you know, working with people. I started working with people who had Parkinson's, and another lady who had a muscular dystrophy, a child. And then, you know, just started working with people and realizing how powerful this really was.
So how does that work? I mean, you talk about the ancient code of tones. Can you give us a little bit of background and history of that?
Sure. The ancient Sumerians, now, it's hard for some people to grasp this, but the ancient Sumerians had a code of tones. They would actually combine, they say that it came from the star people. So for whatever that's worth, I happen to believe them, but some people may not. But they used this code, which connected the letters in your name and your birth date to numbers and the musical scale. Kind of like numerology, but a little more, it's centered towards musical tones. And each note of the musical scale has a frequency, a vibration, and it all fits in that way. That's basically how it works. I'm simplifying it a lot, but it's too hard to comprehend otherwise. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you take, and it doesn't matter what language your name is in, because it translates just fine, thank you, by frequency. So anyway, this code of tones, and that will give me the key to start playing your music in. So when I get your name and birth date, that's why I asked for yours, I find the key to start playing in. And what that basically allows me to do is to find you in the records, to locate you in the Akashic records. And so then when I tap into that, that's why it's very personal, and why you can't do it as a gift without asking someone's permission, because the only way you can tap into that is by getting your permission. And so then I just start playing, and I ask for guidance. And when that, when I finally tap in, sometimes it takes a little while, but with your particular recording, it was right there. The music came right in. But it just helps me tap into your energy, and I ask for guidance to give me the music that will help you in whatever issue it is you're dealing with or whatever issues you think you need, they think you need to deal with. So that's what happens. And then I just kind of disconnect consciously and just go into kind of a semi-conscious state and just let my fingers do the walking, so to speak.
Right. Now, I have to say that the music that when I listened to it, as soon as I got it, I brought it home and started listening to it, and it just it didn't sound new to me. I mean, it's very beautiful. I love it, but I just melted right into it. And I use it every morning with my meditation. And yesterday I took a nap to it. It's the most natural sound to me in the world. You know,
it's yours.
Right, it's like hearing my children's voice. Like, I love the sound of their voice. That music is very much the same, but it just, I just feel so connected with it. So, yeah, it absolutely is mine. I knew it the second I heard it.
Yep. And you were easy to tap into, but that's because you meditate, and that's because you're tuned in already. For some people, it's not so easy for me to get in. They think they want it, but then they... It's like there's almost a resistance to it. In fact, a good friend of mine in Nevada, she was going through a lot of tough times, and I offered to do one for her, and she says, "Oh, yes, please, please." And she gave me her name and birth date, and then I went home and I did the code, and I couldn't get any music. So I called her and I said, "Cheryl, are you sure you want this?" And she said, "Maybe not right now." I said, "I didn't think so, so tell me when you're ready." So it was about a month later, and she called and she said, "Okay, I'm ready." And then I could actually get the music. So there's definitely, and I don't understand it, I don't claim to understand it, I'm not psychic or any of those things, but there was something that was stopping me. I could not get her music. But then when she called back, it was able to come through. So there's definitely a connection between soul or essence or whatever that helps me, and but it has to allow me to do it on
right.
a very deep level.
I understand that. The readings that I do, they work with the emotional body, and I always equate it to going through somebody's panty drawer. You know,
yeah.
You just don't go through somebody's panty drawer without their permission, and even then you do it gingerly.
Yes.
So.
You have to honor what they are, who they are, and just, tread softly.
Right. So, yeah, and, I have to say I was definitely ready for that. I've been doing some healing work myself, for myself, and I've just used a couple different modalities, and Spirit let me know through a dream probably about a month and a half ago or 2 months ago that it was time for me to do something different. And, right after that is when, you said that you were starting to work on my music, and I was like, "Oh, this is wonderful." And they showed me actually a sign, like later in a dream, they showed me like one of the things that would happen to me physically once I had hit this modality. And I have to say that this morning when I woke up, that happened.
Oh.
So I was like, "Oh, yes," and I found it. And yesterday was the day that I took a nap with it, and I actually took the speakers and put them up because I have some congestion in my ear, and that's a recurring problem. And I've got a lot of emotional issues around that because my father died of cancer, and that's exactly where it showed up for him. So I took the speaker and put it directly on underneath my ear on my lymph glands and let it be there. So I just love the music. I mean, like I was telling you earlier, I'll probably make sure I've got a couple of copies for myself because I'll wear this CD out.
You talked about the vibration, like when you put it under your pillow. That's a very important part of this whole thing because, as you know, everything is vibrating at a certain frequency. Our bodies have a natural resonating frequency. The earth has a natural resonating frequency. And when you are able to... use whether it's music, drumming, whatever the frequency is that you need, that's where your healing will come. And that's why I so often tell people when they have trouble sleeping or whatever, there's a lady by the name of Kelly Howell, I'm sure you're familiar with her, with the Brain Sync recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And she has them either with guided meditation or without, some are with subliminal. But they have frequencies built into them that actually help. You know, the delta, beta, you know, they have all of those frequencies in them. So that actually helps with the physical manifestation of healing. And that's emotional or physical healing. But that those frequencies are so important. And when you put a speaker under your pillow like that, you're actually getting it touching your head, and that's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely different, and I could feel the difference from, you know, like I played with the speakers when I was putting them on, you know, on my ear. It was different in my right ear than in my left, even though, like, I was switching the speakers, and it was interesting how my left side received it and how my right side received it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had fun playing with it. I have to say that, you know, when if you've got this music from Kate, or if you're getting this music from Kate, you know, play with it. It's really, it was fun for me, and, you know, it really has evoked a lot of healing. And I'm not the only one noticing it. My husband is noticing it as well. In, you know, in subtle ways, he's making comments and, you know, asked me what I was doing differently. And this is the only thing I've really added in to my regime that's different at the moment.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad it's helping.
Yeah, so it's definitely tangible. So, you know, you were talking a little bit about how you access it and how you get it. Have you had any really interesting experiences when you were connecting with people? And
Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, there was a lady, gosh, this is 10 years ago or so now. She, I had never met her. It was an internet order. You know, she gave me the name and birth date, and she said she was trying to figure out what to do with her life. And could I ask for guidance for that? So I said, sure. So I sat down to do the recording, and I tapped in right away. She obviously was ready, but wow, was it an angry, the music was angry. The energy I got was not good. And I always do a prayer for protection, you know, when I start, and I certainly did it that time, but it must not have been strong enough, because whatever was coming through her music came into me. I guess I didn't put up my shields high enough, but boy, did I turn into the raging bitch from hell the next day. And we were entertaining at a winery in Nevada. Oddly enough, there are wineries in Nevada, but we were doing a Sunday brunch, and we'd worked there for almost a year, and one of the waitresses, very psychic and very tuned in, and I walked in, and she said, "Oh my God, Kate, what's wrong with you?" And I told her what happened, and so she helped me do a clearing, and I got rid of it. But I had, overnight, a cold sore had appeared on my lip, like it was a manifestation of all of the crap that was coming through this recording. And anyway, after she helped me clear, the cold sore was gone in a couple of days, which normally takes, you know, a couple of weeks. But that was probably the most, not frightening, but disturbing manifestation of something coming through me. And then I realized how powerful this was, and how I better really learn to protect myself, because if I was going to do this a lot, I couldn't let that happen again, because I might not have someone there to help me get rid of it. So I've changed my procedure a little bit there. And now I'm really much more careful. But the anger, fear, all of that can come through. But it needed to, obviously, it needed to be in that recording for this particular client to understand that she had to deal with this before she could go on with the rest of her life. Mm. And I got the impression of abuse as a child, that kind of thing came through. I don't do readings per se, but sometimes with the music comes information, and I pass that on, you know, if I get it. But anyway, that was probably the most dramatic response I personally have had to something that I've been doing for someone else.
Right. Now, do you find that people, do you have people come back later on and get a second
yes
recording, and does it change?
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, we have a very good friend who had 4 recordings done because he goes through a lot of ladies, shall I say, and he doesn't quite know what he's funny that way. But and his mom passed away and stuff like that. So there have been a lot of changes in his life. So it seems every time then he asks for a new one, and that helps him get through whatever the next stage in his life is.
Beautiful. So are the recordings more like situation specific, or do they, like would they be, do you ever do any that are more applicable for long-term life situations, or can, and do you know the difference? Does it come through as a difference?
Not to me, but to the client. I don't know, because I, most of the time I don't know the people for whom I'm doing this, mm-hmm. but, so I don't know, but they do, and they will tell me whether they, and it, you know, when they send me the order or they ask me to do it, they will say, you know, I'm dealing with this or this, can you ask for the music for this? And that's what I focus on. Sometimes it's just like a, you know, I want something that will help me meditate all the time, or I want something that will help me, you know, find more joy in my life. And then when I meditate on that before I start the recording, then that's, you know, if that's what they've asked for, that's what comes through. But sometimes it's just, I just want a recording and I want to see what happens. Ask for what I need. And so that's what I ask for. And like in your case?
Right. Yeah, I was gonna ask.
I didn't ask you and you didn't tell me. I just said, please, I forget the wording I used, but it was basically, please just help me give Lynn whatever it is she needs at this time.
Beautiful. Yes, and it was certainly, you know, what I'm looking for, and I didn't even know I was looking, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's awesome.
But somebody else does.
Right, absolutely. Thank goodness there's a wiser part of me out there looking after me. Now, with the, you know, there's so many different types of music in the world today, and I have a teenage son, and he, you know, likes to listen to some things that, you know, I'm not particularly fond of. Do you find that with all this angry and, mm-hmm. and this disrespectful type of music, mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I really do, mm-hmm. I love all different kinds of music, and I know everybody has their own personal thing, and I'll listen to my son's music, just not with any regularity. But do you find how does that impact you, you know, working?
Yeah, tell you what, if I could, I would make every teenager listen to something besides their stuff so that they understand the difference to what it, of how it makes their bodies feel. I would love to... And this is my goal. My next goal is to have a center where I can have people come in and experience using music for peace as opposed to using it for entertainment or for whatever. You know, when we were, I don't know how old you are, but you know, I'm in my early 50s, and I grew up when, you know, my music years were the 70s, and it was very different music. Sure, there was rock and roll, but the music was very different, and we were, you know, they were still protesting the war and that sort of thing, but it was all about making things better. Now I feel that it's more about just making things, I don't know, it's about being angry, like you said. And those frequencies go beyond the music itself, go beyond the frequencies of the tunes. Go to the intention of the music. And when you look at the intention and you feel the intention, there's nothing good coming out of that. And so that has to have an impact, not just on the person listening to it, but remember, frequencies don't stop. That speech that Hitler did 70 years ago is out there in space somewhere. Those frequencies do not stop. Every note, every sound that was ever made is still resonating. So with the energy that goes with that sound, you know, that's what affects the planet, affects the universe. So, yeah, the music that's so angry is really disturbing to me, and it actually makes me sick to my stomach. I actually feel nauseous when I'm exposed to too much. You know, like when there's a car next door, when you're driving and you're at a stoplight and there's this horrible music, usually with foul language. Not that I'm a prude, I'm not. I've been known to set a blue streak myself, but that is not something good to be out there pounding in someone's brain and vibrating through their body. Just think about what that does to the frequencies of your body and your soul and the planet. So it disturbs me a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. My daughter, who's really into animals and she watches Animal Planet all the time, she was telling me that cats will purr when they're sick and under different situations. I always thought cats purred when they were happy. But whatever she was watching was saying that, you know, that vibration actually, you know, heals them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was I was like, well, gosh, that just makes so much sense, you know. And then when you think about it in terms of, like, you know, the cats do that and they resonate their own sound, and then, you know, you're saying, you know, that the sound is eternal and the frequencies are eternal. And I was just thinking about, you know, people that are ill, you know, and everything they've been exposed to and how that continues to resonate, that, you know, recordings like you do are so important for them to kind of help shift that vibration that's been in there.
Yeah.
I can really see where that comes out as more healing.
Oh, absolutely. I worry actually about the people who listen to this kind of music, and it's certainly a lot of adults do, you know. Think of what that's doing on a cellular level. If you think of stress being a cause of many illnesses, especially cancer, that has to have an effect. I wish I had the funding, here's a wish for me to put out there, to have the funding to do research on that sort of thing, to track what people have been exposed to in terms of sonic influences over their lives, and see where their health is at this point. Because I'm convinced that it has something to do with it. Like my husband is, you know, an old rock and roll guy, but he, you know, he grew up in the 60s, and they, you know, all the music was about love and peace and flower power, and San Francisco, put flowers in your hair and stuff like that. And he can rock out, but those were also very important influences to him. And he's a very peaceful person. That's just how he is. So I have to think, okay, so if you meet an angry person, what kind of music did they listen to? Was it Kiss? You know, what were they listening to? So I think it would be an interesting study.
I agree with that. I have to say, as you were saying that, I was thinking of some people that I know, and they're always, they're doom and gloom, or there's always something going on, and most of the people that I'm thinking about, they listen to country music, and I'm not bashing country music, but there's a lot of wallowing going on. That's definitely, you know, it has to impact.
Yeah, my dog got run over by a truck that broke down, you know, yeah, just after my wife left, yeah. But think of the studies that have been done on plants. I'm not sure if you're familiar with these, but firstly, they know that cows produce more milk when they're exposed, certain kinds of classical music are piped into their barns. That's fact. We know that when people compare plants, the growth rate of plants, if they put the same plant under the exact same conditions in four different greenhouses, exact same conditions, except for the music, every single time the plants that are exposed to heavy metal rock die. They can't survive. But plants that are exposed to, especially Indian classical music, because classical Indian music is a very religious, so it's very spiritual. You have to be a certain kind of person to play it even. And those plants survive and thrive amazingly well. So what does that tell you?
Right, right. Yes, and actually I have done, I did a science project with that one time, so I am familiar with that.
And I wish people would, you know, I wish that was more, that was out there more, so that people could see if it does it to a plant, what the heck is it doing to you?
Right, right. So in your study of the ancient code of tones and the work that you've done, you and your husband have written a book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, the Healing Sound of Music, gosh, it came out almost 10 years ago now, but it's just as powerful now as it was then. What we did there was take different aspects of your life, grief, depression, stress, and we wrote a chapter on each of those things. And we also explained how vibration affects people. So there's a little bit of science lesson in there. But we went through all of those things and talked about how music or frequencies could help alleviate certain conditions and how you could use music to, say, lift yourself out of depression. And no, don't give somebody who's really depressed really cheery music because they'll want to break whatever it's playing on. You have to build them up out of it. It's just like when you go to sleep, you can't go right into something really, if you've had a really stressful day and you're going to bed all stressed out, you don't want to have really soft music right away. You want to bring yourself down to that point, to bring the frequencies down. And Kelly Howell is very good about that. Her music that she uses for sleep, it actually starts off a little bit busier and then it winds down. So you actually wind down with it. But we talk about that in the Healing Sound of Music. And we kind of give prescriptions for people on the kinds of music they can use in each of those situations.
Oh, wonderful. Now, so do you talk about in the book or like at all, do you talk about people that are maybe getting ready to have an operation or that have to go through like maybe chemo treatments or do something of that nature? Mm-hmm. Or is it just for like specific illnesses?
Oh, it's definitely for any kind of surgery. There's a lady in Louisville, Kentucky. Her name is Dr. Alice Cash, and we've been corresponding back and forth. Of course, I knew it before I met her, but she's really a pioneer in getting people to use music during surgery. Now, I've done many, many recordings, personal recordings like I did for you. I've done them for people who are about to go in for surgery. And most hospitals now, you know, they're hip to this. They say, yes, we know that music helps. Plus, it also masks for the patient the sounds of the surgery, you know, because even though you're unconscious, the information that goes on in the operating room often gets through to your subconscious, and mm-hmm. sometimes you don't want to know what they've been talking about. So it's better for you to have music, and Dr. Cash has actually developed a kind of a headphone that can work very well in a surgical situation. So you can find her on my website, which is thehealingsoundofmusic.com, but I put a link up there because I think her work is so important. But studies have shown, besides the fact that it's relaxing, people who use music of their own choosing when they go into surgery need less anesthetic to go out, and when they come out of anesthetic, they have less nausea, they come out better, and usually it's just a much better experience all the way around. And those are studies that they've done in medical and surgical settings. So it's a very important thing to use. Now, I have a very kind of a disturbing story about chemotherapy. I had an injury several years ago, and I had to go in for physical therapy on my arm. And next door to where I was having physical therapy was the room where chemotherapy was being administered, and I'm not going to get into my opinions of chemotherapy, but it's a very stressful thing for the body. It's a terrible thing to put your body through. But during the time these poor people were being subjected to that poison, they were also being subjected to the poison of a soap opera on television in the room. Now, can you imagine a more toxic environment?
Right. I mean, there's so much drama.
So much drama. The last thing people having chemotherapy need is a soap opera. So, you know, I was going back and forth every couple of days for this therapy. And finally, when I got feeling better and I could play my harp again, I approached the people in charge there at the hospital. And I said, you know, I'd love to volunteer to play my harp for your patients. And you're not going to believe the response that I got. This is in Las Vegas. Well, we can't do that because you might recognize some of the famous people who are coming here and you might talk about it. That was the reason they said I couldn't play the harp for the patients. Now, how short-sighted and stupid was that?
Wow.
That was their reasoning. And I said, well, I'll sign whatever you need, a confidentiality. Good heavens, I'm not going to go blabbing. Firstly, I don't know famous people, and secondly, I wouldn't dream of saying anything. And I will sign whatever you want me to sign, but they would not allow me to play in that chemotherapy room.
Mm. Wow.
That was a very interesting experience for me to see that particular hospital. Now there's another one in Las Vegas, St. Rose, which is amazing, but all of their campuses there. We actually played for the opening of one of the campuses, and they have a healing music they have a healing garden, and they have music in it, and they have our music is amongst many others of the same kind that's being piped through the hospital at all times. So there are the great differences, and I would highly recommend that when somebody has to go in for something, whatever kind of treatment they need to check with the kind of atmosphere the hospital has when they do that, because it makes a big difference in your recovery.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. We have one local hospital. We're actually getting some more in our area, and and people will go into our hospital and sometimes come out feeling worse than when they went in.
Well, we were originally a place to die, so.
Yeah, right. So yeah, it's we have people that will travel a little bit further to go to a different hospital and. Yeah, so things like that make a difference. And people don't think about that kind of stuff when they're ill. You know, they need somebody to kind of help remind them and keep them on track. So,
right.
Wow. So are you and your husband still out playing for the public, or are you just doing your personal recordings? What's your interaction with the world at this time?
Now it's just me. Actually, I'm going back full-time into my healing work in May. Right now, I produce a television show, but it's changing hands, and I'm going to be getting out of the television business and doing my music full-time. But I won't be performing so much. My goal is to build a healing music center, and in that, I will have not only harp music and stuff, but things like drums. One of the other most powerful things about music is not just listening to it, but to making it. So my goal, and I've taught many, many years now harp, and for most of the people who I teach, they're mostly adults, and I teach them not to play for performance, but to play for themselves, to play for healing. Many of my students are now volunteering at hospices and in hospitals. So that's the goal, is to have a center where I can help people learn to play, but also, have resources to use music for their own healing or to help family members or friends or whatever. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your book, it also includes a CD. Is that does it have on there like a little snippet of music for each different disease, or is it something that people could put on?
Oh, no.
But like, let's say a nurse is listening to this, or somebody in some type of a healing office, and would they be able to play the whole CD through?
Oh yeah. This is a CD that Richard and I recorded several years ago, and it's harp and guitar, because he plays guitar, and we also had a friend do keyboards behind, so it's got kind of like a string section in behind. And no, that's just a regular CD. It has things like Scarborough Fair and Green Sleeves and a few original songs. Richard has four or five originals, and I have an original song on it. As a matter of fact, the song that I wrote for this is called Gabriel's Lullaby, and it was written as kind of an expression of love for my white wolf dogs that we had then, because they loved to huddle against the harp when I was playing. Talk about vibration. They would get as close as they could, and Kayla, the one dog, her paw would always be on the leg of the harp because she loved that vibration. So one time they were snuggled up as I was practicing, and as a result of that, I composed this piece of music for them, and it's on the CD called Gabriel's Lullaby.
Great. That's wonderful. And again, it's www.thehealingsoundofmusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they can reach you there, and they can order your book, or they can ask for a personal recording. And now I want to just say for people that might be coming in a little bit late, Kate does personal recordings, which, I can attest to are fantastic. If you wanted to gift it to someone, you have to get that someone's permission because it is a very personal recording. So just wanted to make sure that that got mentioned again for anybody that's joining the show at this point. Kate, is there anything else that we, you know, should know about this that, you know, maybe I haven't brought up?
About healing music?
Yeah.
One of the things I would like people to think about is if you do play an instrument or if you ever have and you put it aside, pick it up again. Don't be afraid to make music. Don't think of your nasty old piano teacher rapping your knuckles because you made a fingering mistake. Don't think about the voice teacher that said you couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Baloney. You can make music, and making it yourself is one of the most powerful things you can do because it's an expression, it's a release, and it's just fun. You know, it doesn't matter if you're off key. If you play the guitar and sing, go for it. It's good for your heart. It's good for your soul. It's good for your body.
Now, Kate, we have somebody in the chat room that's wanting to know if they can hear a recording. And I did not upload my recording. But on your website, I believe I remember seeing like a sample.
Yeah, on the page, I can't remember which page I put it on. I'll pull it up here. But, yes, there is a sample, and it's there's a little video that I made. my one attempt at filmmaking, I did a little video, and the music is connected to that. I think it's under my personal recordings page. I think I did it there. But, yes, so you can hear a little sample there.
Okay, great. And what I'll do is, because I didn't upload mine, I'll put it on for anybody that wants to hear what's on there. I can upload it, and people can go to the main site of the Honoring Hour and listen to it because it is beautiful. And what do you do? Like, let's say that, you know, you did mine, and, of course, when I play it, my children are here. I homeschool my daughter, and my son's home in the morning. They hear it. So while it's mine, how does that impact them?
It can only be a connection, especially between a mom and her children. I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad they're listening to it. A lot of people, you know, they're not in a situation where they would want somebody else listening to it, and then just use your headphones, you know, use your portable CD player or whatever and listen to it on headphones. So, no, it's not going to hurt anybody. They're not going to get the same thing out of it that you will, but it's certainly it's fine for them to hear. I think it's wonderful that your children are hearing it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, my son's a teenager, and sometimes he'll complain, but he really doesn't complain to me. He'll kind of like to his friends, oh, well, we have to be quiet because my mom's meditating or whatever. But, you know, he's always very respectful of it. And, you know, it's one of those deals where, oh, you know, my mom, she's just a weirdo. So, but that's okay. When push comes to shove, he calls and falls back on that too. So,
see.
Yeah, it's awesome. And my daughter, you know, talking about instruments, my daughter had been asking to have voice lessons, and we went ahead and got her some voice lessons, and then she got interested in teaching herself the piano, so she actually, you know, combines her voice lessons now with piano lessons, and she tells her and her piano teacher that what she does is she closes her eyes and she plays by the feel of the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she actually learns the songs. And her piano teacher tells me all the time that they just whip through the books. You know, she always has to look for something complicated enough to keep my daughter's interest, but basic enough to teach her the foundations.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. She's obviously got it in her heart.
She definitely does. She's a huge inspiration to me. She's opening a lot of doors for me, which is great.
Cool.
So, wonderful. Well, we are getting close to the end of our time. We have a little bit more time. Is there anything else that we need to know about, Kate?
Another thing is for people to be aware of their surroundings. The sonic influences on your life, they're not necessarily music. There are many other things that can disrupt, you know, kind of your vibration, your own frequency. So if people are feeling agitated or if they feel like they're always stressed, one of the easiest things they can do is analyze their surroundings. Because even something like leaf blowers, I'm here in sunny Southern California, and the leaf blowers drive me to distraction. And, you know, it's one of those vibrations that you may not realize why you're feeling agitated, but stop for a minute and look and listen, because it could be something as simple as a leaf blower or whatever bothering you. And when you firstly acknowledge it and recognize it, it won't bother you so much anymore. But also, if there's a way of eliminating that sound from your environment, do so. Because there's no point having an extra stress on your body, on your, you know, your heart, on your soul. Get rid of it if you can. And if you can't and it still bothers you after you've acknowledged it, then listen to some music. Put some headphones on and listen to something soothing, something that makes you feel good. And it doesn't matter whether that's a love song from the 60s that you grew up with or whether it's something like my kind of music, you know, with the harp, something that soothes your soul. Because that will help counteract whatever else sonically is bothering you. And there are so many things. It can be the air conditioning in the house. And also be aware of frequencies from fluorescent lighting. That's really a negative, because it's not just with your eyes. It's those lights send out really nasty frequencies. And if you can eliminate them and, you know, do that. I don't care about, you know, green power. It's nonsense. They're really bad for you.
Right. So for people who are in an environment and they've got the fluorescent lighting, just putting on some real subtle background music might help deter that?
It's not going to change the fluorescent lighting, but it will help counter, like it's not going to change the effect that that's having on you, but frequency level, having soothing music will just make you feel better. You know, those fluorescent lights are so awful,
mm-hmm.
And I would like to just get rid of them all, but, you know, they're in offices and stuff, and I understand, you know, for energy and so forth, they're there. But, yeah, if there's some way you can turn them off over, you do so. If not, and use, like, a nice warm light on your desk. But if you can't do that, then, yeah, listen to some soothing music. And if it's something you're in a big office with a big pool and, you know, other people have other stuff going on or they don't want music, see if it's okay to use, you know, at least an earbud, maybe not headphones because you need to hear people, but at least something that can be by you that can make you feel calmer and happier.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good. And there's so many people that are at work that have stressful jobs to begin with. They don't need to have that added stress of the fluorescent lighting.
Right.
You know, just a little bit of background music. It doesn't even have to be really loud, does it? It just has to be enough to kind of, yeah. So I notice when my son or my husband's irritated, I can put on something. They may not even really be able to hear it, but just shifting the energy in the room will kind of help shift them. And even if it doesn't shift them, it helps keep me from jumping into that.
And, you know, another thing is, I don't know how often it happens to you, but going out to dinner is a real sonic challenge because a lot of places now, they not only have obnoxious music, they will also have a television. You know, a lot of these places, I never understood that. It's bad enough that you have television at home when you go for dinner and when you have dinner, but what's this with in a restaurant? You know, they'll have sports or whatever playing, and they'll have music. I make it a practice. If they won't turn it down, one of them down or off when I'm there, I don't eat there. Because the last thing you need when you're eating is that kind of noise. Because it's really hard on your digestive system, and of course that affects everything about you. So that's another sonic influence to be aware of. Because if you're having a nice dinner out with the family, and there's all this noise going on besides all the people who are talking and having fun with their families or friends, also got this obnoxious noise in the background, and I don't understand why they put such horrible music in restaurants. It's just, you know, it's not good for digestion. I guess it's to keep things up and hip and cool, but it's really bad for us.
Right. Well, we must eat in some pretty boring places because we don't usually, occasionally we'll go into one where they're watching a TV, but we eat in a lot of little mom and pop places that don't have.
That's good.
Here
where I am, almost everywhere the music is just obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know? But most of them, if you mention it, they will turn it down.
Right.
Or mute the TV or something. So I'm really grateful for that because it's just so uncomfortable to eat with that.
Yes, I agree. And yeah, and here we've got, you know, digestion is like one of the main issues that people have. They're popping, you know, Rolaids and Tums and I don't even know what else is on the market and getting prescription medication and, you know, really just something as simple as some nice dinner music,
mm-hmm.
you know, might might help it. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay,
anybody
I really
stressed, that's what they need. And I know your time to go.
Oh, no, we've got a few more minutes. I just wanted to be sure to thank you so much, and I wanted to mention again that your website is www.thehealingsoundofmusic. And is that Healing Sound or Healing Sounds?
It's singular, thehealingsoundofmusic.com.
Okay. And that's also on, Kate is currently on our guest page, and there's a link to her website there. And after today, she'll be moved to the archive page, but again, her link will stay there if you wanted to connect with her then. If you guys can give me until Friday, I will upload my music that Kate did for me for anybody that wants to hear a longer sample of it. Highly recommend, I cannot recommend enough, getting one of your own, or if you know anybody that's going through some serious challenges, illness, anything like that, if you get their permission, maybe gift it to them, because this has really, I've been listening to it now for almost 2 weeks and maybe about 10 days. And it's made a huge, tremendous difference in my life just in a very short amount of time. So I just can't recommend it enough, Kate, and I thank you so very much for doing that for me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was a great pleasure.
So wonderful. So thank you all for joining us today. I want to remind you that on April 20th, we're going to have Chris James, who talks about singing and using your voice, and he believes that everybody has a voice. And based on what Kate said today, I think that they will go hand in hand, and it'll be a great compliment to this show. On the 27th, we have our monthly meditation, and then we start our May lineup, and we're getting some really interesting stuff through here all the way through August. I'm starting to book things. So please be sure to check the main site, www.thehonoringhour.com. If you haven't already friended us on Facebook or joined us on Twitter, please do so. And thanks again for joining us today. I'm going to sign off by using Hello Again with Sabina Kevenberg. She is graciously offered to let us use her music, and she's the music that you hear at the beginning of the show now. So this song is called Hello Again.
Sometimes I take detours, but my goal is clear.